You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, June 2nd, 2025. And as always, Grandpa Dan is starting off your work week here at RadioAlbion.com with the Monday installment, the Daily Nationalist. Or as I like to call it, it's Daily Mail Monday, where I find us some stories. I try to make a common theme. Sometimes it's not so common. I had several to pick from today. Of course, as you know, I try my best, because I can't say I never do it if there's something funny to talk about. But I generally will not do royal family or celebrity stories here. So that narrows it down quite quickly. You know, a lot of guys, because dating and things for single guys, you know, they're resorting to these different apps and these different things on the internet. And quite frankly, it's just, I guess you could say, mixed results. And I'll be the first to admit, look, I'm old, so I may not be up on a lot of these things. But I read some of these stories and I see the narratives and whatnot. I see the direction things go in. And I just have to say, my recommendation is just don't. The deck is stacked against you. And you know, people accuse me of being a naysayer, maybe being too negative. But you know, it is what it is. You look at these things and I think, man, if I was a younger guy, you know, trying to find somebody, I don't know. You know, you're just going to have to go back to the old ways. You're just going to go out there and try to find somebody the old fashioned way, because I look at this stuff and it doesn't look good. You know, again, if you're a single guy, you're trying to meet somebody, you don't want some woman that has, let's be blunt here, already got kids, single mom. She's been run through more than a very popular train tunnel or something. And you just don't, you know, you're trying to find your way around, and guys resort to the internet. And quite frankly, the pitfalls are enormous. We'll start off today with this first story, which is kind of an extreme example. And as I go through this story, and on this first story, I'm going to go through, you know, normally I just kind of read the first, say, quarter to a third of these stories, because it's a Daily Mail story and it really gets wordy and stupid and repetitive. But I'm actually going to go through quite a bit of this story just in order to highlight some of the ridiculousness of the narrative here. And in so doing, I do, in advance, I already know some people are going to get offended by the way I'm probably going to narrate and present this story, but the truth is just the truth, and we're going to jump right into it. This first headline: missing Utah girl 15 is found alive 6 weeks after vanishing into thin air. A 15-year-old girl missing for 6 weeks after she vanished from outside her school has miraculously been found alive 500 miles from home. Elisa Petro, 15, vanished without a trace on April 21st after being dropped off at school in Utah, getting on a train out of town. She was not kidnapped, just so we're clear here. She was not abducted outside of her school. She ran off. Nothing was heard from her until she walked into a police station in Colorado Springs on Sunday night and identified herself. Police said the teen was in good health, but it is still unknown whether she was or if she was being held against her will. Now, this is along the same lines of like when a tornado comes in and wipes out a town, and the weather people say, we haven't verified if it was a tornado or not until the government does so. It's because I say that because as we go through the story, the question whether or not she was held against her will becomes pretty self-evident. Elisa's parents have been notified of her location and are working with South Jordan police to bring her home. Hours after she went missing, her frantic parents, Olga and Nikola Petrov, discovered their daughter had a terrifying double life when her secret iPad was found hidden in her dresser. Now, you know, again, for any parent, this is a rough thing. You know, and again, I don't want to come off as unsympathetic. If, you know, I thank God every day that I never had any daughters. Praise the Lord, because ain't no one want to deal with that sort of nightmare and that sort of drama. So we've had the build up of this poor innocent child, and now though we hit the first red flag, the secret double life. This tiny child who just doesn't have any sort of self-agency, you know, any sort of self-agency, any sort of way, any sort of agency, any sort of ability to make responsible decisions, was also sneaking around with a secret double life. Well, it's female, so I wonder what this double life involved. Well, I'm pretty sure we'll get to that. The teenager dug the long-forgotten device out of a dusty old box and was chatting with three accused pedophiles who are now behind bars. I say this, I've said it so many times before, I'll say it again. Words mean something. Pedophilia does not involve a 15-year-old. I don't care how late of a bloomer she is. If you look up the definition of the word pedophile, it has nothing to do with this. Just is what it is. And before, oh, you just advocate. No, look, words have to mean something. And when you're going to have a story like this and they use a term like pedophile to reference three guys who were hooking up with this young woman who was looking for sex, and we'll get to that here. That's not just, you know, throwing that out there. She was going on a penis adventure across the country. And again, we'll get to that in the story. It's not just throwing that out there because the story covers that to a certain extent, or at least it's highly insinuated. The point here is pedophilia does not play into this. Now, maybe these three guys were pedophiles. Maybe they had other stuff. You know, they were into like little kids, pre-puberty children or something. But that doesn't have anything to do with this. To be having to sit here and go through a story about a 15-year-old and then three pedophiles. Now, these three guys were wanting to hook up. And here's another thing. And maybe this is just an age thing. Is it just me, or has it gotten to where it's impossible to tell how old any of these females are? Again, I'm grateful for being old. I am, because I don't have to deal with any of this garbage. I look at with like younger guys, like say in their 20s or even 30s, and they're out there and they're single and they're trying to meet up. And you've got teenagers who look like they're 30. What do? Do you ask for their ID? On April 21st, Elisa was dropped off at her school, Canyon Grove Academy, in American Fork, about 32 miles south of Salt Lake City. Instead of going to class, she bought supplies at a nearby gas station and convinced a man there to drive her to the local train station. Who the hell was this dude? What the hell? I mean, seriously. I don't care if she looks 30. I don't care if she looks 15. That's irrelevant. Because I'm going to tell you, me, myself, I'm rolling along. I'm minding my own business. I'm at a convenience store, whatever the hell. And some random female comes up and says, hey, will you give me a ride to the train station? Negative. Zero zilch. Not going to happen. I mean, we live in a day and age to where you can be sent to prison on nothing more than a female's accusation alone. In fact, a female can say 20 years ago you did something with no evidence and you can still be facing jail time. And some dumbass gave this rando female a ride. Maybe out of good nature. Maybe she swapped something. That's irrelevant, because who the hell? Why would you do that? I tell you, man, simping or thinking with my dick is going to get you in trouble. Just don't. Elisa got off the train in Provo, about 14 miles south of American Fork, and asked multiple people there to help her get a bus ticket to Las Vegas, where she had arranged to meet Matthew Nicholas Menard, 35. Olga last week told DailyMail.com her daughter had about $1,000 saved from pocket money. Stop! A 15-year-old has $1,000. It's pocket money. She just had this pocket money saved. $1,000? I ain't got no $1,000 pocket money, I can tell you that. Pocket money and birthday gifts that she didn't spend after she turned 15 on April 16th, just 5 days before running away. Somebody else is either helping her, and we don't know who or where. I'm not suspecting the worst, she said. That means she's with somebody else, and we don't know if it's a good person or a bad person. Elisa has not explained why she ran away. It's not hard to figure out. Anyway. But messages on Discord and Snapchat between Elisa and Samuel Tinkham Mitchell, 41, another of the accused pedophiles. Again, there's no accusation of prepubescent children being involved here, so I don't know why Daily Mail insists on using these words, but they're really dramatic. The meaning is completely inaccurate. I'm sitting here trying to think of something that would be equivocal on an equivalent level of ridiculous. Anyway. She revealed deep animosity she apparently held for her parents, like every other 15-year-old female. This is just the most thankless work anybody could be assigned, is to have a teenage daughter, is to have a daughter. Screw that. This is why the Muslims have... This is why Islam has things like honor killings, because how do you put up with that? It's a joke, sort of. I mean, it really, though, how you spend 15 years providing and doing your best, and you wake up one day and this bitch hates you for existing, because maybe you tell her you can't go out and go ride the carousel. I mean, she had $1,000 in pocket money. It's not like she was being mistreated. Within their chat, the juvenile mentioned suicide and that she hates her parents. Again, like every other 15-year-old girl. Mitchell advised he had met a girl online who was mad at her parents and had started cutting herself. Elisa also requested multiple times for Mitchell to kidnap her, and 8 days before she ran away, sent him locations of where she would be, the affidavit. She was already framing this up to where she wanted to do this. She wanted this some rando guy, and it didn't matter what guy, because we have three different dudes. She was, and this gets framed as we go along here. Like I said, I was going to go ahead and go through basically this whole story because it's so convoluted. At some point the story refers to these guys as grooming her, but the reality, the way I'm reading it, is she was grooming the three guys. And it didn't matter which one. She tells the guy, come kidnap me and here's where I will be. Why would she do that? Because she was trying to set up a situation to get what she wanted, but at the end of the day, she could play this also off also as being a victim who was kidnapped. Imagine all the attention she could get for this. And still, you have idiot guys that go on the internet and partake in this. Now, it's insinuated here, but nowhere is it specifically said these guys, you know, this girl told them, I'm this old. There's nothing, you know, we don't know. Maybe these guys, if these guys did know she was 15, then they're idiots. The term pedophile still does not apply, But they're stupid. They should be locked up just for being morons, because you know the whole age of consent thing is the law, and you're still playing with this fire. Why? Why? Because that teenage coochie just sounds so good. It ain't none of it going to be so good it's worth going to prison for. It just ain't. So if they knew, and again, it doesn't specifically say they knew. It's insinuated, and if they did know, then they're morons. They're still not pedophiles, by the way, but they are morons. Let's see what else this poor innocent child had going on here. The pair allegedly tried to arrange a meeting. Elisa asking, like, are we for real meeting? Like, please confirm, please, before tonight, confirm if we're meeting. Please bring condoms. Well, now we know what was going on. She was grooming these guys, if you're going to use that term. She was setting it up. She was instigating it. She's telling them, bring condoms. It's just, she's like DTF, if you know what that stands for. She was down. And and also trying to arrange this whole kidnapping scenario, because she still wanted to have the fail-safe of being the victim. Mitchell replied saying he was sick and couldn't meet, and Elisa instead ran away to meet another man, or another of the three men in Las Vegas. I guess in a way this guy dodged a bullet, but in a way he didn't, because he's still in trouble. Maybe something at the last minute he was like, this sounds like a bad idea. Yeah, you should have figured that out before you... After Mitchell turned down seeing Elisa due to being unwell, he told police she mentioned that she met an FBI agent in Florida and had an interest in that guy, the affidavit alleged. That man was believed to be Menard, a tech sales executive, not an FBI agent, who allegedly spent months grooming Elisa for sex. And again, if anything, it looks to me like she was the one doing the grooming here. Now, there's another guy mentioned here, but I want to go ahead and get through this because it gets convoluted, because she was basically, she was hitting up so many different dudes on here that it starts getting confusing. So I want to get back to the guy who never met her, who, when she was like, are we really meeting? Bring condoms. We're really meeting, right? You're really going to meet me. And then he's like, man, I'm sick. I can't make it. I doubt he was sick. I'm pretty sure finally his instincts were, this could be a really bad idea. So he never met her. Did that save him? Mitchell? No, Mitchell was arrested last Wednesday and thrown in Salt Lake County Jail, charged with 5 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor. Never met her, but he's in jail now. Police found no child porn of Elisa on his phone, but allegedly found disturbing conversations with 2 other girls, one confirmed to be 15 and another who appeared to be about 12, and nude photos and videos of both of them. So you hit these girls up for their nudes, and this is what you're going to get. I mean, you know, look, the amount of poor judgment here. Guys, just don't. You know, and again, this article is written in a way, they don't tell us whether or not any of these females told these guys their age specifically. So we don't know. You know, these guys chatting with somebody that looks 20 and she says, I'm 20. And, you know, they send them nudes in the DMs. You wind you up in jail with these multiple counts of sexual exploitation. He didn't even meet this girl. Whether she told him her age, or whether he just said something doesn't sound right here. He at the last minute, he had a little bit of good judgment come through, but it was too late to save him. I hate to be negative. I do. But I just, if you're a younger guy and you're out there trying to meet females, you know, look, the odds are stacked against you. Again, I'm not trying to be discouraging. I'm not saying don't go out there and try to meet people, but I'm saying you need to go out there and meet people. This internet crap, it leads to no good. You're not going to meet your life partner on Discord or whatever the hell else. What are you doing on there? You're just not. You're going to have to think of another way. Get you a passport and go to Romania or whatever the hell. But sitting around trying to meet women on the internet. Our next story, because I got another story and it's related. It's on a different topic because the whole age thing. You know, nobody's getting charged. Well, you could, because again, we live in a world to where all a woman has to do in this country is accuse you of it with no evidence, and you can have your life ruined. And once again, you're going to go meet these random bitches off of the internet, regardless of age. And this was, like I said, we started off with an extreme example of poor judgment. But remember, even if you go on a site like Tinder, because you go on Tinder, you know, okay, you have some documentation that at least you're not going to get hit up and called a pedophile because she's only 17 years and 364 days old, you disgusting pedophile. So you say, okay, I'll go on the Tinder and I'll try to find my soulmate on the hookup app. But you see, the odds are stacked against you there as well. You go over to Tinder and you're going to have a humiliation ritual. It is. It's a humiliation ritual. Tinder is testing a height filter as devastated users say it's over for short men. So right off the bat, as if the dating market isn't just designed for women only to give them every advantage in the world. Yeah, now they're coming out with special things even more to where now, you know, if you're not 6 foot whatever the hell, then you got no chance. You see, this is just a humiliation ritual. I don't know why a guy would go on here. You're going to go on here and this is just to stroke their ego. Oh, I got 58 dudes hitting me up in my DMs. And if he's not at least 6 foot three, he ain't got a chance. Why would you feed into that? It's the go-to dating app for millions of people around the world, but Tinder has sparked controversy this week following the launch of its latest feature. The dating app has quietly started testing a height filter. Spotted within the premium discovery section of Tinder settings, the tool allows users to specify the minimum and maximum heights of their matches. No, it allows women to do that because men don't give a shit, by and large. Amazingly enough, you know, of course, the story tries to market this as, you know, hey, they're just giving people choices. You know, this just keeps people from wasting their time. No word here that when Tinder's going to have a weight filter. How about a body weight ratio filter? You know, the BMI filter. And you know, if how about banning porthole pics? You know what those are? Where these fat bitches take a picture of their, like, their face just right here so you can't tell how damn obese they are. Posting a screenshot to Reddit. How the hell do we see, it's bad enough we get so many of these articles that are centered around Twitter posts. Now we're down to Reddit. Posting a screenshot to Reddit, user Extra Barracuda wrote, oh my gosh, they added a height filter. Some users have welcomed the tool with open arms, with one asking, why is this a problem? Well, that user was a woman. If someone liked a certain height, go for it. It also weeds out the peeps who don't like your height, they continued. Good, then we should have the same. I wonder what this person would say with a weight filter. However, others are less impressed, with one skeptic tweeting, it's over for short men. What are they going to do now? And if the short men to say, well, I'm going to go to the Philippines and find a woman there, then they will be called some sort of disgusting pervert who can't find a real woman here. Most of these roasties on Tinder are single moms out there who, quote unquote, we're going to get off into vulgarities here. I don't want to do that. But I mean, seriously, you're not getting looked. You're not going, if you're shopping on Tinder, you are already in the damaged goods department. Let's say that. You know, you can go find these stores. They used to be a little more common. And what would happen, you could cheap out on your groceries. And what these stores would do is, and I say, I think these stores still exist out there. There's not as many of them as seem like they used to be, but I'm not up on it. But anyway, so you get the secondhand damaged goods stores. And what they would do is, like, say there's a big truck. And this truck is carrying cases of canned peaches. And in the process of driving down the interstate to loading their cargo of peach, the truck overturns. The peaches get hammered repeatedly because it's rolling. And all of the peaches just get destroyed. But they're still in the can. The can is all meshed up. The labels are coming off. But as far as you know, the peaches inside are still somewhat capable of carrying out their purpose. So the secondhand store will come in and buy the wrecked truckload of peaches for a set price. And then they go through and weed the ones that have a literal busted can. You know, they might get chunked. But the others, they'll clean them up and sell them at a discount price. And as long as you don't mind getting beat up peach, you could save a few bucks. Tinder is the secondhand damaged goods store for meeting somebody. You are not going to find your dream traditional waifu that you imagine having on the Tinder. You in the wrong place. You know? It's like going to the Kia dealership to find your new Mercedes. You at the wrong place. And then, on top of this, she's going to weed you out. If you don't meet her high expectations, she over there with two kids, two different baby daddy, no job, nothing to offer except for her damaged goods. And then bitch got a nerve to say, oh, well, you not over 6 foot tall. You don't qualify. I want to feel sorry for these guys, but you know, you just put yourself in that humiliation ritual. It's just, maybe you're into that. I can't imagine it. But maybe that's what, maybe these dudes get off on being shit all over. I don't know. Because that's the closest thing to an explanation I can imagine. People put themselves through this stuff. You have, I think, a common denominator tying these two stories together is driving all of this. People have biological urges that are natural to drive them to reproduce. You're given these urges so that you will reproduce. If you didn't have these urges, the species would die out, because the act involved in continuing the species, in reproduction, if you take the urge out of that equation, it's disgusting. Nobody's going to partake in that. That is just gross. You got to add the urge. Otherwise, nobody's going to do it. You got to have a situation to where hormones start pumping and things start going on here so that people can turn off their logical filter and ignore the fact that this is pretty gross, so that you can continue the species. You continue the line, continue humanity. But society has choked that down. In the first story, let's go back to that for just a minute. In a traditional society, like we used to have before the insane times, it would be reasonable that this, a lot of what that 15-year-old girl was doing is because she's 15. And her biology is telling her it's time to start reproducing. You may not like that, and you may be sitting there calling me names and accusing me of things I am not. But that's the reality. She wasn't doing what she was doing because she's some unreasonable whore. She's doing what she's doing because her biology, her body is going, we need to start making babies. But you see, we have this weird constraint. No, you don't. You need to save yourself until you're in your 30s or something. and go to college and have a career and totally don't go get run through. And then maybe think about it. But that drive remains the same. Same thing on the flip side of that. Now we're talking about this Tinder thing. These guys still have this drive. And at the same time, a lot of men really do want. You know, one of the myths, I think, that's out there is that women are the ones that want to settle down and get married. No, they want to have a wedding. Virtually every woman wants to have a wedding where she's the princess for a day and living out some sort of fairy tale fantasy. But they don't really want to be married as far as what all is entailed in that. Men are the ones that, at the end of the day, want to settle down, get married. They don't want to have to mess around with going and dating and all that headache. They just want to find somebody, settle down, have a family, and live out their lives with. Women want to have a wedding. But again, men don't generally want to go and sign up for raising somebody else's kids. They want to have a family of their own. And yet everything is so broken and so skewed that now you have people trying to carry out their natural biological drives, their desire to have a family, to settle down. And because the system's broken, they keep doing these weird things, trying to somehow fulfill something that should just be a natural order of things in an actual healthy functioning society. I cannot imagine, you do not look, if you have something like Tinder, you don't have a natural functioning society. You know, I laugh when people make it sound like these young people, because it's easy when you're older to act like, you know, well, these young guys just need to buck up and do, look. The reality is, you know, you can't just tell guys, well, you just need to get out there and man up and do a, you know, just live the lifestyle like things are normal. Things are not normal. I mean, things aren't even remotely normal. If guys refuse to partake in this, then they're incels who live in their mom's basement or whatever the hell. If they do get out here, then they're creepers who aren't tall enough to meet the single mom standards. You know, if they get excited because some girl on a gaming platform, you know, is flirting with them online and maybe sends them a picture and they're like, she's kind of cute. You look too young, but she's kind of cute. They set themselves up to get sent to prison and registered as a sex offender. Now, there's a third story, and I'm not going to get to it. We don't have time. We got to wrap up. But there was a third story I was going to do related to this, and the headline was basically, why getting married abroad is a really bad idea, and you could get punished by the tax man. Of course, they disguised the story with, you know, people just going and getting wedded, you know, people who met each other in their home country, and they go abroad and get married for a European wedding, and then get back and find out that they could have a tax bill if one of them dies. The headline is 90% of the article. What they wanted to do, this is to address guys who in the current culture are referred to as passport bros. You know, guys who get a passport and go overseas to try to find a non-insane, non-run-through, viable spouse potential, who have had it with American or Western women and they're going to go overseas, whether it's to, you know, Eastern Europe or whether it's to the Philippines, regardless, the passport bros are like, they come to the same conclusion I'm looking at here, and they're like, this is a loser's game here. Why am I going to sit here? I want a wife. I want a family. Why am I going to waste my time on Tinder while some skank tries to weed me out for my height? And I can go overseas and find somebody who's not clinically insane and maybe, you know, maybe isn't thinking Arby's here. Maybe, you know, maybe hasn't seen more sausages than a meat market. Oh, don't you do that. You could get punished for that too. How dare you? You're a loser if you go overseas. You're just scared of these empowered Western women. Damned if you do and damned if you don't, guys. It's a damn shame. because this is one of the most simplest basic things you should have in a society. People should be able to meet somebody with a common interest, get married, have a family, and have the potential to live a normal freaking life. And don't get me wrong, people do that still. It's easy to get off in the woods with these stories and act like it's impossible. It's not impossible, but it ain't easy either. You're looking, guys, you're looking for a needle in a haystack, and you're just going to have that mindset. I would tell young guys this. When you're out there meeting a woman as a potential partner, if you just on Tinder to try to meet a one-night stand, that's your business. I that's not itself without being with risks. Again, you live in a society where all she has to do is accuse you and say you assaulted her and you're in trouble. No evidence has to come into play. But nevertheless, you know, if you are out there looking for somebody, they're out there, and you shouldn't give up. I'm not saying give up and just give up on your and be an incel. But understand, you should approach this, because like with this height thing on the Tinder, everything in this society is stacked where women have all the choices, that they are coming from the position of power and you are not. You've got to get rid of that mindset and not adopt that mindset. If you're meeting women and you have the purpose of you're looking to establish a long-term relationship, ultimately marriage, and ultimately a family, you need to handle it as though you're interviewing somebody for the most important job. You are a business, and you're basically weeding out job applicants. Not her. Imagine if you were running a business, somebody applied for a job, and they sat down and in the interview started telling you everything you're going to have to do for them. Are you going to sit there and put up with that? No. You need to have the attitude, hey, you know, I'm looking for somebody to meet these qualifications. You start right off looking at them. If they don't meet those qualifications, then you need to call them out right away. Don't waste your time. Don't lead them on. Don't go on, you know, 2 months worth of dates when if you meet them and she doesn't meet what you're looking for, just move on. You are interviewing for a job, and that mindset will get the lust thing under control, where you're not making decisions with my dick. You're making decisions with your mind, with reason. You're looking for somebody to fill this role. You're not going to find them on Tinder. You're not. So don't go there. You're at the wrong outlet. You're going to have to figure out, okay, these are the things I'm looking for in somebody. You know, and then, okay, where am I more likely to find that? You're going to have to put the effort in. If you decide to get a passport and go overseas, then do that. I'm not going to sit here and lecture on that. But you're going to have to be choosy. You're not going to find them on a Discord server. You're not going to find them on Tinder. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to wheedle through all of the slags. You're going to have to go through, find the needle in the haystack, go overseas and shop over there. You're going to have to do something. I can tell you, you ain't going to find them on Tinder. And you damn sure ain't going to find them on Discord. What you're likely to find is a case of the clap, or worse, a case, period. Like the guys in the first story, they got a case and they're all cooked. We're gonna wrap up on that note. Be careful out there, guys. Look, if you're making decisions, and ask yourself, are you making these decisions with your mind, with your reason? Or are you making these decisions because you're horny? I'm not even trying to be vulgar here. If it's the latter, if you're being honest with yourself, if it's the latter, just stop. Just stop, because it's not going to turn out well. You're not going to wind up with the job candidate that you're looking for. You could wind up with a whole lot worse. We're going to wrap up on that note again. I appreciate you joining. I hope you enjoyed today's show. As always, I hope it's entertaining, but also kind of informative. Look, seriously, man, y'all don't put yourselves out there. Don't Ain't none of that worth getting a case over. Use your good judgment. Don't get chewed up by this system. I will be back tomorrow for the Pairs of the Patriots program. It is done. It is in the can. It is up there. Just waiting for the date to drop. Should be some good stuff. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with Orthodox Nationalist. And Dr. Johnson will wrap up our content for this week on Thursday with his installment of the Daily Nationalist. So I'm sure we'll all look forward to that as well. So I hope you have a good rest of your week. I hope you'll get a chance to check out the rest of our content as it pops up this week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.